Welcome to this podcast edition of this past Sunday's worship for April 14th, 2024. In this worship service, we dove into the passage from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, where the disciples perform their first healing after they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We'll dive into what that meant for the disciples, what that meant for the world, man being healed, and what it means for us today. Thank you for tuning in. I hope this is a blessing for you. If you ever want to check us out here at Berwyn United Methodist Church, you are welcome to join us in person at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings or continue to worship with us online. Would you join with me in prayer? Loving God, we give you thanks that your Spirit is with us, that the same Spirit that worked through Peter and John is at work in us. Help us to boldly proclaim your good news, to share healing and hope in the face of sickness and tragedy and despair. May this time of worship bless our hearts. May we be transformed by your presence, and may our lives be transformed through your Spirit at work in us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our first reading today is Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies, Selah? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Selah, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety.
Hear this reading from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to a temple at the hour of prayer, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, look at us, as he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Jesus told his disciples that they would receive the Spirit and that everything that they had seen him do, they would be able to do and do even greater. He had told them to wait in Jerusalem until the gift of this Spirit, and then they would go from Jerusalem into all of Judea to Samaria and around the world. Jesus both gave them a mission and everything they needed to accomplish it, of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, his resurrection, and what that means. That death had been conquered, that sin had been destroyed, that there was a new way of living, and it was available to them through Jesus Christ. That relationship that had been broken between God and humanity had been restored and now could be traversed, could be carried out by each and every person through Christ. This story that we have just read from the book of Acts is the first healing that the disciples do after that mission is given. After Jesus tells them that they were going to do amazing things, after the Holy Spirit is given. We see Peter and John walking into the temple. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the scripture says, and they're going. And there was a man who had been brought there from birth so he could ask for help. He was crippled from birth, and he needed to rely on the kindness and giving of strangers in order to survive. Now, we hope and pray that he did make it into the temple to pray sometimes, at least a little bit, but there are some ways of reading the Old Testament to say because he was crippled from birth, he could not go into the temple at all. And so the gateway could be as far as he ever got. And he was sitting there, and he had to beg for help as the people passed by. I love the irony. I love the beauty of the man who was crippled from birth asking for help at the beautiful gate. The one that draws attention, the one that people know for its looks and for its splendor as they enter into the temple, sat this man who many would see as not beautiful, who many would see as an example of the world gone wrong, that many would see and ask, could see what did he do or what did his parents do wrong to cause his crippledness. Underneath the gate of beauty, just as the entrance of the temple where he may not have been able to cross, he is crying out to people going in for prayer. Now, any of us who have walked wherever there is those who are poor, those who need to beg for their sustenance and their survival, we know what it's like to be that crowd walking through the gate. Sometimes we take a quick glance and we at least notice the person. Sometimes we try to look away, hoping that if we don't make eye contact, they won't ask us. Sometimes when they ask us, we're conflicted. Should we give it to them? Should we give them what they ask for? Should we share of our money? Do we not carry any money so that we can truthfully say, I don't have anything for you? So many times the people that ask and the people that beg get ignored or unseen. They're seen as less than, they're seen as broken, they're seen as less worthy. And humanity hasn't changed much. The way we are today and the way we interact with one another today, it's not woefully different than what it was then. And I'm sure there's people that pass by this man, just like many of us pass by those in poverty today. And so when Peter stops and he looks at the man intently, and depending on the translation, it's either he stopped and he stared at the man, which is kind of awkward. What I like is the translation that he said, he looked at them intently, as if to gauge what was going on, as if to gauge what he was going to do next. He says to the man, look at me. Now the man has been acknowledged. He looks up at Peter from where he is sitting on his mat, expecting to be given something. There are those people that pass through the temple gate that help this man. So he expects that somebody would stop and take notice of him. Generally means that what's going to happen next is that he will receive a gift that will help him eat, help him live, and help him go about and survive until the next day where he is at the temple again asking people again to notice. Looks up at Peter, and he's hopeful, or his expectation is, that he's going to receive some money. Now, the thing about Peter is, I don't know if he knows what he's going to do next, and I don't know if what he's about to do, if he knows it's going to work. This is that first healing after the gift of Pentecost. He turns to the man looking up at him, and he says, gold and silver I have not, but what I do have, I give you. Maybe he's thinking, well, he doesn't have silver or food. Maybe he's got food. Maybe he's got something else he's going to give me. He's talked to me at least. He's acknowledged my existence. He acknowledges that I'm here. It's a step in the right direction over so many that probably pass through the gate. Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ, healed. This is a powerful statement because he just doesn't say, you are healed and get up. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are healed. He invokes the name and the power of Christ because he trusts in Christ. He doesn't waver. He doesn't waffle because it's his own power. He doesn't think, well, am I strong enough to do this? Am I strong enough? Do I have the power to bring about this healing? Do I have the power to do what I'm about to speak? It is not by his power. And so it isn't about his weakness. It is about God's strength through Jesus Christ and what Jesus has promised the disciples that they would be able to do. And so what Peter has is an intent trust in the promises of God. It is so powerful that he makes a bold statement to the man on this mat who has been crippled from birth. Get up. Rise up. Take my hand and stand. Can you imagine that kind of understanding that it is not you doing it, but Christ at work in you? To boldly claim? Now, many of us would wonder, okay, well, what if it didn't work? What if he did all of that and it didn't heal the man? After all, am I saying that we should all go out into the hospitals, to the rehab centers, to those who are hurting, those who are lame, those who are broken, and say, get up and walk? I do believe that there are people with the gift of healing out there. There are miraculous healings that happen so often. Healing of heart, healing of body, healing of mind and spirit that I cannot explain, but there are also those times where it doesn't happen. Also those times where healing doesn't come, even though the faithful people pray for it. Earnestly seeking it. So what would have happened if that were the case here? So Peter steps out in faith, trusting in Christ. He doesn't worry about will it work or will it not work. He doesn't worry about what the person will think. His eyes are only on the man in need of healing, and that man's eyes are on him. And so he speaks boldly. He acts boldly by reaching out his hand and lifting him up. And out of that, through the miracle of the Holy Spirit, that man is healed. And not just kind of a healing of what was broken, but a full restoration of health so that the man can leap and jump around with joy, drawing attention from others. I said, isn't that the guy that we always pass every day? 3 o'clock, he's always out there. He's always asking for money. Isn't that him? And they recognize it as him. They're amazed by this. They want to know more. They're asking questions. We know that they're asking questions because immediately after today's passage, and I do encourage you to go and read it, especially if you're doing the weekly reading plan that's on our website, you'll find it, is that because the people are amazed, they're willing to listen to Peter proclaim Christ, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who raised up Jesus Christ, the one that you had killed and rejected. He is the reason behind this. He is the purpose of its healing. He is the one at work. And he's at work today. He is alive. For what, the one who had been crucified had been raised again. And the ramifications of that are widespread. And they had no idea what the fullness of them was. A lot of us, especially the Methodist Church or more progressive forms of the faith, we kind of say, okay, our deeds should be enough. We go out and we love people. We go out and serve people. We go out and give to people. And they'll just know. They'll just know why we do it. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But how often does that put the attention on us? We think we're doing it for Christ. We know we're doing it for Christ. And in the name of Christ. What about the person receiving? And so we get a challenge in this passage. One is to act boldly, trusting in Christ and his promises, proclaiming Christ and speaking healing and hope into the lives of others. We may not heal someone who has been crippled since birth, but in the name of Christ and proclaiming the good news, we can bring a healing of wholeness, a healing when there is pain and suffering, a healing when there is brokenness, a healing when there is sin, healing when there is loneliness, healing when there's hopelessness. In today's world, there's in modern medicine, there's so many healings for so many ailments that people wouldn't have dreamed of 2 decades ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 2,000 years ago. But in our world today, there are so many people who are struggling, trying to understand who they are and how they belong in this world. So many struggling with loss and grief, wondering if their loved one is gone forever. So many who beat themselves up for the things that they have done, locking themselves in chains and feeling captive by the past. We need to hear what Paul said to the man at the temple. Silver and gold I have not, but what I have, I give you. And what we have is faith in Jesus Christ, the author of our salvation, the one who was nailed to a cross and died and rose again, the one who descended into hell again. And if we don't think that's enough, if we don't see the power and the potential for healing in our broken world that our faith in Christ has brought to ourselves and can bring to others, then what are we doing? Why are we afraid to share it? Why are we afraid to let people know where our hope comes from, where we have been healed, where we find our rock and our foundation? If it has been powerful for us and we believe and know it to be true, and how can we pass by the people who are hurting, who are lost, who are broken, and not even try to say, you can be healed through my power, not through my words? It's not about us. It's not about our power. It's not about our strength. It's about stepping out and trusting in Christ, and offering what we have received that's been passed down to us, to those who are desperate to hear it. Will you do that? Do you do that? Do you see the pain and suffering in someone's life and say, you know, I don't think I can heal that. I don't think there's anything I can do about that. But I follow one who has healed me. I've found a way to put my trust and faith in the one who has been healing people and bringing restoration. Maybe he can help. Meeting them where they are, acknowledging their existence and where they are hurting, looking them in the eye and speaking life. People in our world are desperate to hear it. They may know it, they may not, but I believe they are. And it's on us, it's on the disciples of Jesus Christ who are alive and well today, here in this place, to trust in him and to speak life. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, again we stand before you in need of your loving care, in need of your presence in our lives, in need of the hope that our faith in you brings. For we see situations in our community and though the lives of those we love. We see the challenges they face. We see the pain and suffering in the world, and it all seems too great. We wonder if we have anything to offer
that can speak and bring life. In the face of such magnitude, more often than not, we shrink away. When people who are grieving in desperate need to hear words of life and hope spoken to them in comfort, when we feel your prodding to speak rather than to sit with them in silence, we are afraid we're going to say the wrong thing or wonder what we could say at all that will bring any hope. When there is injustice and pain in the world, we wonder if our voice would make a difference, and so we stay silent. Help us to see that what we have to offer is greater than silver and gold, greater than anything else that the world could offer those who are hurting, that we offer you. We offer healing in your name. We offer hope because of our trust in you. We offer a promise and a trust in the promises of the world to come, that war, that pain and suffering and death are not forever. That these things that seem so insurmountable now will indeed pass. But until that day, help us to see you. See where you are at work. Help us to follow you, to go where you lead us. Help us to be your hands and your feet, proclaiming your good news as we go about your work. We pray for those who are suffering. We pray for those who are placed in harm's way. We pray for the Middle East. We pray for the world. It seems as though we are on the edge of a knife that could go in either direction. And so we put our trust in you, put our faith in you, that no matter what may come, nothing could challenge the fact that you love us, that you are our Savior, and you will never leave us or abandon us. But we pray for the leaders that do have a say, that do have control over what happens, both those that know you and those that do not. Call for justice, the call for mercy. Your Holy Spirit is out there prodding all. Help them to hear it, to envision and dream of a better way, where there's an end to war and pain and suffering. Help us to live each day as your disciples, under the promise that everything that we saw you do, we may do even greater. Help us to put all of our trust in you alone as we go about our lives. We ask this all in the name of Christ, who taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God's love and grace truly is amazing. It will never abandon us, never leave us, never forsake us. That no matter what the world throws at us, we can trust in it. And from that trust, we can step out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ boldly, proclaiming his healing and his hope and that amazing grace that we have received, and ensure that others know it's available to them. There's a world desperate to hear that good news. And we have a task to share it, empowered by his love. Let us pray the words we pray each day, each week. Send to us all the people who feel unwanted and unloved in other places. If they can't come to us, send us to them. May you go from this place trusting in the one that brought you, trusting in the one that redeems you, trusting in the one that loves you. And may you go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, proclaiming that good news to all that you meet. May you go in love. May you go in joy. May you go in peace. Amen. This is Pastor Kevin again, and I'm so glad that you've decided to join us. If you're looking for ways of applying what you heard, if you're looking to dive deeper into the scripture, if you're looking for prayers or questions to help you reflect on what you've heard, I invite you to come to our website at berwinumc.org, where you can find this message and others like it,
where you can find devotional materials related to the message and reflection questions to help you learn to live it out. If you want to support the ministries of Berwyn United Methodist Church, you can go to our website and click on the Give Now button and support it through your presence, your prayers, or your financial gifts. I hope you'll tune in next week, and I hope that you'll share this podcast with other people who may benefit from the message it contains. May God bless you until we meet again.